105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Let me introduce my first guest to you. Denise Fenn of the East Anglian Children's Hospice, otherwise known as EACH, is here ahead of Mike Hauser's marathon broadcast this Friday night. Starts at 7 o'clock, going all the way through until 8 on Saturday morning. Denise, thank you very much for coming in.
Good afternoon, Julian. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And battling the traffic as well.
Yeah, East Road's absolutely hectic. So anybody going home or deciding to go out, avoid East Road.
Yes, it's kind of one of those hot spots. It kind of right through the spine of the city, really, all the way through to Gonville Place. It's forever getting blocked up. So tell me a little bit about what happens at EACH. You've got a site quite local to us here, haven't you?
Yes, we have a hospice here in Milton, which is just up the road. We have three hospices throughout East Anglia, one in Milton, one in Ipswich, and one at the back of Snetterton Racecourse at a place called Quiddenham.
I know Quiddenham very well. That's not too far away from where my mother lives. I used to I just wonder, is it there's a Carmelite monastery up there as well, isn't there?
And it's exactly there.
It's in there. Okay. I used to sing there when I was in my teens.
Oh, I'll find out more about that then later.
I'll keep that one quiet. I won't go into that too much. So does it vary the work that happens between the different places?
We take care, no, except for case to case is different, depending on what the child's needs are and the conditions. However, most of our care takes place in the child's home. The family have a choice whether they'd like to come to the hospice or have their care provided at home. Essentially, we take care of children with life-threatening conditions. They're very, very poorly. We also support their family and their brothers and sisters, because having a poorly child in the home with a brother and well brother or sister, there's lots of challenges there.
And I guess almost it's a case of being just as important to support the people around the person who is poorly as much as the person themselves. Obviously, they're going to need some care and attention too, but it does have a knock-on effect on other family members.
That's a really good point. We provide care 24/7. Our specialist care staff can go into a child's home and provide those that symptoms, but beyond symptom control, but beyond that, our support system that we can provide is invaluable to families, in particular if they're bereaved. And around this time of the year, we're getting ready for Christmas. It's a great celebration. Right now,
does that put extra pressures on people, though, if there is a sick child in the family?
Absolutely.
I guess they're used to it all the year round, but it's like an added thing which is laid on top.
Yes, and also right now we're taking care of 388 children throughout East Anglia.
How many at the Milton side?
About a third of that.
Right.
And 530 families. Now, you may think, well, how come more families than children? And that's because they're bereaved families, and we're helping them cope sometimes with their first Christmas without their child, that their child has died. And it's a tough time. It's an unbearable time. And we have specialist staff that are able to that they're specialists in bereavement, and so that they can help support these families through what should be a joyous time, but this year isn't.
Yeah. I'm guessing all this is pretty expensive, isn't it, really, to maintain staff, the support, the added expenses, even for the volunteers. You know, it's going to be costs in there. What do you need? What do you need to keep going?
We need to raise £6 million every year. And sometimes, how do you eat an elephant? How do we break that down? And
It sounds a lot. I guess if you know, for the sort of, for example, I don't know. I guess you must have had some recent fundraisers. I wonder if we could maybe sort of put that as an example and work out how, you know, what the money might be spent on.
Yes, it's £16,000 a day, and at Milton we need to raise almost £6,000 every single day. Great example, though. It's been a special day here at Milton. The 12th of December has been proclaimed Barrett Holmes Day, and
and flying in the helicopter.
Well, I wish. Not quite, actually. They came and met with our chief executive, Graham Butland and also our staff and had a quick tour of the hospice. And it's their day. We've been tweeting and Facebooking like crazy all day to celebrate what they've done. They actually raised a whopping £22,000, and that will pay for 4 days at Milton Hospice. And that provides all the care, whether that be at the hospice, respite care, short break care, that could be in a child's home, that could be end of life, and that could be bereavement. So it's absolutely wonderful what they've done. And so they can feel jolly proud that they've made a difference.
Absolutely. So when Mike sits down tomorrow for his 13 hours in this particular seat, that and the listeners hopefully could contribute and help sponsor Mike to get him through the night, because clearly what he needs two things. He needs coffee and he needs donations. And that's really going to help.
That will keep him going. He's really putting himself out. That's going to be a challenge to stay on air that long. So it's really good if your listeners could log on to your website. There is a click button.
Yes, there is. Cambridge105.fm, top right, there's an orange and purple button, and that will take you to Mike's Just Giving page, which means we can con the Chancellor out of a little amount of money, providing you tick the relevant box, declare your tax status, etc., etc., and so even more money can be raised.
And that's the point. Every single penny gets to where it needs to be, is to help poorly children this time of the year and really support their family.
Mm. How are you going to be spending Christmas at Milton?
At Milton? Well, hopefully we'll be quiet. We are open. We're open as usual. We're open every day of the year. And so it'll be business as usual. However, we will have some special things going on and children's parties, not on Christmas Day, and see how that goes.
Mm. Well, Denise, thank you very much for coming in to Cambridge 105 today and helping us along with Mike Howser's broadcast tomorrow. That marathon starts at 7 o'clock, goes all the way through until 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. Do join Mike. Do also click on the donate button, cambridge105.fm, and the orange and purple button is top right on the site. Denise, thank you again. Denise Fenn of the East Anglian Children's Hospice, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
5:33 on a Thursday night, 105 Drive with Julian through until 7 o'clock. I have two guests today, and my next guest is Lynn Byrne. She's here from Age UK. And Lynn, hello. Welcome to 105 Drive.
Hello there.
And you haven't come too far, really, have you? Somebody who doesn't didn't need to drive, just walked around the corner, basically.
That's right, that's right.
Because you have a little base in the cherry trees,
we
don't
do,
you, on Norfolk Street?
Around the corner, yes.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Well, anyway, thank you very much for coming in. So tell me a little bit about the work of Age UK in and around Cambridge. What sort of things do you do?
Okay. Well, you probably know that we're part of a national charity. So here in Cambridgeshire, we work particularly in this county, but we're also part of the national charity. So the national charity was formed about 3.5 years ago by the merger of Help the Aged and what was then Age Concern. Mm.
It's always tricky, isn't it, with lots of different sort of names around and people like giving new names and all sorts of things. You know, UK Sport becomes Sport UK and your merger between Age Concern and Help the Aged.
The name was chosen for us by our national trustees, which I think describes well the work that we do. So within the county, we are a completely autonomous unit. We're managed by a board of trustees who are all volunteers. We have a staff of about 35. I say about because it goes up and down a little bit depending on what we're doing. We've got almost 300 volunteers, and we have an additional staff of about 50 home helps who help older people in their home with domestic
charges. So they're working with you rather than, say, through the council on that regard?
Yes, they're employed by us, and people come to us for assistance in their home, and we will match them with a home help, and then they get that same person every week and get used to each other, and the home helps help them with their domestic situation.
Yes, and I guess that can sort of vary tremendously the kind of help that somebody's going to need.
Oh, indeed, yes. I mean, for most people, it's just having somebody who can help them with the elements that they can't manage. Mm. So, the vigorous stuff like the hoovering and changing beds and things that you that you did very easily when you were younger, but sometimes
it's quite interesting, really. Society has moved on. We hear about changes here and changes there, but actually, when it comes down to it, the kind of help that elderly people need hasn't really changed at all, has it?
No, and in fact, you know, most older people want to continue living at home and can live at home with sometimes just a little bit of help, and it's getting that right amount of that little bit of help at the right stage that stops people becoming more needy, or perhaps undertaking tasks that are just a little bit dangerous and
yes.
can lead to an accident, and then
well, that would take them out and land them in hospital,
and
then
all of a sudden life's very different for you. So that's what we try and do, is we provide a whole range of very early intervention services.
The one thing I can never really get my head around is that there are lots of people, and this happens across a whole load of areas. You know, this is something where, well, you know, are the council responsible here? And then there might be somebody in a sheltered home, or, as you say, there might be people in their own homes. How does, if you like, where does the council services, the state, if you like, stop? And Age UK come in?
Well, the council is responsible for some statutory services which they provide, but they can provide them either through their own provision or through other agencies that they will commission to provide that service. So it's a bit of a mixed economy in the sense that some of it will come directly through council employed employees, and other things may come from a variety of other areas, but we're all doing the same thing. We're all working towards the same end, to keep older people well and at home.
Yes, of course, and that's you know, much needed within the community. What about the funding aspect of it, though? Because I'm wondering, if council budgets are coming under pressure, that then means that somebody at Age UK has to do a little bit more, and then you need funding yourselves.
Absolutely. And we are commissioned by the council in some areas to deliver a specific service.
Right, so you'll get a grant or a sum of money in order to do something in particular.
In some cases. Yeah. And what they say is, OK, we will give you this much money, and in return we want this much back in terms of outputs on behalf of the older people. So we have to be really good at financial housekeeping. I would say that we do really well in terms of what would you call good stewardship. We are very good at making £5 do the work of £10.
Now that's very helpful.
That never changes. So we're always trying to work economically.
Tell me a little bit about cherry trees, because I've noticed recently that you've had the builders in there.
Oh,
That must have been a bit of a headache.
Well, it's been quite a transformation. Well, it still is a building of its age, built in the early 1960s, so it had all of the problems that a building that's starting to sort of approach 50 or 60 years had.
Well, at least it wasn't high-rise. That's positive thing of being from the 60s.
But it is a lovely site, because actually what a lot of people won't know is that there's a small enclosed garden within the site, which you wouldn't see.
Is there? Really? I go past that place times, and I had no idea.
Really is lovely. But it was, as I say, a building of its age. It was becoming very uneconomical to run, and it was actually not easy to sort of hold some of the activities there that we wanted to hold. So it has undergone quite a transformation, which took us, you know, a good part of the summer. I didn't do it personally. When I say us, obviously we had
builders. You went there with your trowel, just helping building a new wall or something.
I have a lot of talents, but not that.
That's
one.
Not one of them.
So I mean, yes, we had the builders in, and it's now you just wouldn't recognise it inside. It's been completely transformed, and it's now warm, which it wasn't always warm before.
I was going to say, not much use having something which is designed to help the elderly, then have a building which is completely freezing.
That's right, and I mean, we were expending quite a lot of money on just keeping it warm, because there wasn't the insulation built into buildings in those days. But there it is, it's there now, and we are trying to sort of offer it to other parts of the community, you know, as a resource in this particular area.
So if somebody can call you up and lease it out for... Well, actually, I think we had a station meeting there a year and a bit ago old style.
Yeah. So. And it is so handy for this particular area.
In terms of your own activities, what sort of things do you do there for the elderly?
We have a couple of day clubs a week. We have other clubs that hire the building to have their own clubs for their folk there. People may know or they may not, but there's the Cambridge Hot Meal Service that goes out from the back of the building.
Oh, now, I have seen the deliveries. I forget the name of the brands. We probably better not mention them, but I've seen the lorries, you know, drawing
that's
up
right.
there, and
that's
presumably
right.
they're delivering the meals, but then go out the other way.
They heat up quite a number of of meals every day, and then their own volunteers and staff come in and take them off in cars and deliver them to
Are they any good? Because there's always the thing we hear about ready meals, too much salt and all that sort of thing. So presumably these are nicely done and nutritionally balanced.
People get a choice, and you know, it's delivered to them hot, ready to eat. So if you're not able to get out and shop and can't cook easily, it's an ideal solution.
So they just turn up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday's meals, as it were.
Some people may have them on a Monday, Wednesday and a Friday and do something for themselves on a Thursday and a Friday, but it's another good option when those kinds of things are getting difficult
for you.
Sort
of takes the pressure off, I guess, as much as anything else.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Really interesting. Lynn, thank you for coming in to talk to us.
You're welcome.
This evening. Do pop back sometime. Given that you're only around the corner, it seems entirely reasonable. We should see more of you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That's Lynn Byrne, everyone, from Age UK.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So here we are then on a Thursday evening. It is, of course, the Entertainment Hour, starting off with a look at what's happening in the unsigned chart. First of all, we'll start with the new entry for this week. It comes from a band who are playing live in Cambridge next week. They are the Sonteems. The track, I'm Fine.
This is the chart you've been voting for. The Unsigned Chart on 105 Drive.
But I'm
Very pleasant. That's the Son Teams, new into the unsigned chart, at least the new entry this week on Cambridge 105. We'll have a full look at the chart in a moment. I should tell you a little bit about the Son Teams. They've been together since the summer of 2012. They're a three-piece band. They're based in Cambridge. They have influencers cited such as Sharon Tandy, My Bloody Valentine, PJ Harvey, The Smiths, Bikini Kill, and Blondie. And as I mentioned, they're playing at a gig next week at the Portland Arms, Thursday night. I think I'm doing this entirely from memory, but stay tuned to Cambridge 105 because it's organised by the folks at Sonic Delights, so they'll be able to tell you all about that on their next show. Right now, though, let's count down the chart.
The top five records from Cambridge's hottest musicians, as voted for by you.
So at number five, Lost Lungs, Childer Road. Number four, Motor Tapes and Shaw. Three, Flux 32, What If. Two, Trouser Crisis, Taken. And number one, Helium, Daydream Days. So for another week, we find that the new entry hasn't managed to get into the charts. We hope that the Son Teams and I'm Fine are in with a chance. Of course, we're coming up to the Christmas number one as well. Of course, the artist gets the honour, and I guess it is an honour, of being at the top of the unsigned chart for a couple of weeks. Don't forget, if you are an unsigned band and you want to get featured in the chart, and indeed across the output of Cambridge 105, you get in touch with Tim. Tim at Tim Willett. No, Tim at Cambridge105.fm. I got distracted because I saw him come in there, you see. I also got a notice on my computer. It says, Tim's birthday, Cambridge, in 50 minutes.
The unsigned chart.
And here's Helium and Daydream Days.
Chance to show you what it's like to live a crazy life. Let me show you what it's like to look at the stars on a haunted night. I can tell you everything will be alright. Make a wish and live your life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Take me away. Let's come back another day when the rain goes away. We can play. Just roll the dice. We'll be alright. What happens if you roll a nine? A question mark, we will find. Let's go outside and live a normal life. That was a lie. Just trying to be nice. One day, I just don't want to leave this spectacular place and all the amazing life-changing opportunities will be gone. Whoa, 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 whoa. Take me away. Let's come back another day when the rain goes away. We can
Number one in the unsigned chart for another week. Helium and Daydream Days, the entertainment hour on 105 Drive. Sky and Hattie are both here. I can just about see beneath balloons and computer screens and goodness knows I don't know what else. But you're most welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you well?
Very well, thank you.
Okay, yes,
thank
so what you. Are we what are we looking at tonight then?
I'll be looking at Spike Lee's adaptation of South Korean film Old Boy and also Disney's Frozen.
I'll be interested in the verdict of that. My money on who enjoyed it the most is fairly straightforward, I think. Ah, wonderful. 99.9 Luftballons. Okay, so I guess it's time for the Verkehrsinformatie. So it's a Thursday night. Of course, we do movie reviews as part of the entertainment hour. Sky Keeble and Hattie Simpson are here beneath our balloon-bedecked studio.
Hooray!
Which is very nice. We don't do this for you every week. Tim's birthday balloons, which I want them to keep here. Can't we just sort of now declare them to be Christmas balloons?
Why not?
Okay. Movies, what are we starting with?
We're going to look first at Old Boy. It's rated 18. A wronged man seeks revenge on those who mysteriously imprisoned him in Spike Lee's visceral thriller.
You read them? You read my letters? Good, you're right. Who are you?
Your friend Chucky called me because you were in really bad shape.
Well, I'm all right now, so I can get out of here.
No, you're far from all right.
What are you doing here?
I apologize for reading your letters.
You didn't call the police?
No, I didn't.
Why?
I believe you.
Why?
I believe that you've been locked up for a long time.
Don't touch me. What if I thought you knew too much, huh? Reading my letters. What if I felt like I needed to kill you right now?
Then I suppose I'd be dead. Joe, please take your hands off me.
One day in 1993, advertising executive Joe Doucette, played by Josh Brolin, wakes up in a hotel room that's been converted into a prison cell. His solitary confinement endures for two decades, exacting a terrible psychological toll. When he's released, just as suddenly and unexpectedly as he was captured. Traumatised and transformed, Doucette is determined to track down those responsible. A mysterious voice then taunts him over a phone, challenging him to answer the questions, who am I and why did I imprison you for 20 years? Spike Lee's intriguing atmospheric revenge mystery is adapted from the same Japanese manga series that inspired the cult 2003 South Korean film of the same title. The powerhouse supporting cast of Lee's masterful reinvention includes Samuel L. Jackson, Elizabeth Olsen, and District 9 star Charlton Copley. Well, Hattie, what did you think?
Well, surprisingly to some people, I'm quite a big fan of the original film.
So am I.
And I was quite disappointed by this, which is probably
almost,
not
I can almost tell you it'll be by your face. It's kind of... Don't laugh, you peaked on the things too much. Oh dear, hurt the ears.
But yeah, I think it is a fault of... It's difficult with remakes, and certainly with quite a cult following such as the original Old Boy, it's like, what can you do that obviously makes homages to the original whilst maintaining, you know, the same... stuff that made it good.
But did you need to have the homage to the original? Surely you just start again and work from there.
But I think because it's got such a cult following, it's so popular, and I don't know anybody who's seen it who isn't impressed with it. It's not the first Old Boy film is not a film that you would necessarily come away saying that you liked, but you will still be amazed by. It's a phenomenal piece of filmmaking. The story is very difficult.
Very dark and disturbing.
Yeah, to enjoy.
But I think the problem with Spike Lee's interpretation is that he includes a lot of the iconography and a lot of the, you know, symbolism of the original, but then he goes way too over the top with it, particularly with the violence. In the original, more of the violence is implied, and obviously the dark undertones are, you know, not so seen as much, whereas this one just shows it all. In the cold light of day, and it just feels done in bad taste, almost.
It does, and I feel like everything has been simplified as well, because with the original as well, you
simplified often, or sanitized, because that sometimes happens, doesn't it? Things get watered down too much.
I don't think it's been watered down. I don't want to give anything away to people who haven't seen either of them. I mean, they do make some fundamental changes to the storyline, which is, you know, is fair enough, you know, artistic license and all, but I feel like it's the bad guy in this film, in the original, he's not as villainous. There's a lot of moral ambiguity.
Yeah,
in the first one,
almost sympathy, empathy towards you know, everybody involved, why they're doing what they're doing. Whereas this one, because it's Americanized, there almost has to be moral implication. There has to be, you know, consequence almost for actions.
And there has to be the good guys and the bad guys.
Mm.
And it's not, the storyline isn't as clean cut as that. So the way they've tried to adapt and change the characters, they just don't quite fit anymore.
And it feels sped up as well. I mean, they're talking about a guy who's been locked up for 20 years in solitary confinement.
He spends about 20 minutes in solitary confinement.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like it's cut down, and
you don't really get the feel for him, I suppose, in that regard. You can't sense the time, because it's a period. It could just as much be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And Shawshank Redemption probably that long.
Exactly. But Josh Brolin's character is so, what was the word you used? Well, basically, he's
quite
so abhorrent. It's like, he's very abhorrent. He's not a likeable character, and you almost don't feel as much. It doesn't matter that he gets locked up, because you know, you think he deserves it, sort of thing.
And the ending to this is such a letdown as well.
It is. It's quite, again, a fundamental change. But there you go. I mean, it's only had a week run, and I think it's going to be finishing in the cinemas pretty shortly.
Yeah.
Normally, at this point, you give out the times. We're not entirely sure there's a purpose to this.
There is. You can catch it tonight if you're still interested at. Well, you're going to miss the 6:30 one. So there's a 9:00 showing at Cineworld, and that's it. But I would recommend you go watch the Park Chan-wook, who's the director of the original Old Boy.
The 2003 version.
Yeah, watch that version.
Easily gettable on DVD?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And quite cheap as well at the moment.
pushing a few extra sales through.
Yeah. I think if you've seen this version, then go and watch the original and just see what you think, and see what you think of the changes as well.
Interesting, right. Bit of compare and contrast. Well, on the subject of contrasts, Frozen's a bit different as our next one.
Stop.
That's Sean Colvin. I don't want anything this Christmas. I need my tree. I need to go and get my tree. I sort of planned to get tomorrow afternoon. Decorated over the weekend.
We need to get ours as well.
Yeah, you've not got yours yet?
No, not yet.
Don't look at me.
I'll look at Hattie instead. You haven't got your tree yet.
I'm desperate to get one.
Just finding the time. Yeah,
the problem is if you get the tree when you're encouraged to get them, which is like halfway through October, by the time that December the 25th comes around, most of the tree has been swept up by the vacuum cleaner.
Exactly.
It's a serious problem. Although I did go to the Christmas shop today in the Grafton.
Oh, exciting.
I got two or three little decorations to hang on. They're very cute. They're very nice. And they're unbreakable as well.
Very useful.
Try not to put that to the test.
Well, I'm not intending to. I'm sure my nephew and niece will have a go if that's at all possible. On the subject of which, I might be taking one or t'other to go and see Frozen. Should I?
Yes, you should.
Yes, you should.
Okay, so this is a story of a feisty girl who embarks on an epic, fun-filled adventure to banish the freeze from her kingdom in this hilarious festive adventure for all the family in glorious Disney Digital 3D.
Summer in the city of Arendelle. It couldn't be warmer. It couldn't be sunnier. But that's about to change. Forever.
Arendelle.
It's completely frozen.
Cold, 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 cold.
A real howler in July.
Yeah?
The land's covered in eternal snow.
Really?
If we don't do something soon, we'll all freeze to death.
You want to talk about a problem? I sell ice for a living.
Ooh, that's a rough business to be in right now. I mean, that is really... that's unfortunate.
Oh, I love that line.
And there's plenty more along the, well, along the same lines. Okay, so summer in the kingdom of Arendelle has just turned unseasonably cold.
That's near Peterborough, isn't it?
Not far off, I think. As an eternal winter grips the land, young Anna, voiced by Kristen Bell, realises who's responsible. Her sister Elsa has been cursed from birth with the dangerous ability to create ice and snow. Now impetuous, daring and tenacious optimist Anna must track Elsa down in a race against time to save the kingdom. Joining her on this quest are rugged, ice-harvesting mountain man Kristoff and his mangy yet big-hearted and loyal reindeer Sven. Along the way, they encounter ice monsters, wolves, trolls and a lovable, accident-prone talking snowman named Olaf. So this is made by the same people who did Tangled and Wreck-It Ralph, and it definitely has the same kind of feel to it, and it is wonderful.
It's a great Christmas film. That's what I have to say.
You could say that with a little more enthusiasm.
Yes, a great Christmas film.
It's genuinely really, really lovely. It's heartwarming. It's got a great storyline. It's quite unusual as well. It doesn't sort of follow like the a fairy tale formula.
So is it the prince and princess available?
There is a prince and princess. And there is a princess.
That's good.
But the story doesn't play out quite as you'd expect, which is nice.
I guess in a way Shrek did that kind of trick on, at least the first one.
That's what it also reminded me of in places as well. It has some very Shrek-y overtones. But there's lovely performances as well. The voices of Kristen Bell, who plays Anna, and Idina Menzel, who musical fans will know from Wicked and Rent. They're playing the sisters. And, I mean, everybody... There's nothing that sort of sticks out badly or anything like that. It's really well put together. The storyline is lovely. The visuals are gorgeous. It's so nice because it starts off in summer and you're a bit like... Wait a second.
We're in the wrong place
here.
This is
so close to Christmas. Then it turns wintry, and when the ice palace is built, obviously I don't want to spoil anything, but it is...
I think the clue's in the title, though. It's called Frozen.
It's really beautiful. The songs are lovely as well. It's packed full of nice songs. They do kind of veer towards the slightly cheesy side for me, but it's a really like nice family Christmas film.
I quite like that clip we heard, the line about the ice business towards the end. Kind of suggests to me that the lines and the film in general, it's one of those titles that can span it from kids through to the adults as well.
Yes.
Pretty small kids, I guess, as well. Nothing too scary in there.
No,
I take
not.
It to you. I'm just double checking.
It's a PG.
It's PG. Okay.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, yeah, it's fun for all the family. I think. I really enjoyed it, and I'm 21, so you know, I think that's a fairly sort of even
demographic.
Sky, give us some more. What did you really think?
What. No, I really enjoyed it. I mean, we
for
made
a Christmas
comparisons.
Film.
We made comparisons to Tangle, and I prefer it to Tangle, to be honest. I prefer the songs, I prefer the vocals, and yeah, the visuals. I'm more of a winter guy myself, so you know, I enjoy the ice and the colours that come from prisms refracting and all that sort of stuff.
You never get the older of the two.
You never get films, do you, where it's like permanently summer and how somebody has to save it to bring back winter?
Definitely not. No. But yes. We also have a competition.
Oh, this is exciting.
As well, should we tell you a bit about the prizes?
Oh, please.
So up for grabs is a woolly hat, very apt for the season, a snowman USB, a notebook and stickers. Everybody loves stickers.
I like USBs.
Well, there's part of a prize for everybody.
And did you say stickers as well?
And stickers and a woolly hat and a notebook.
This is good.
And it also comes with two tickets to see the film at Cineworld, kindly donated by them.
That's so very awful, awfully sweet of them at this Christmas time.
Lovely, isn't it? Okay, so to get your hands on this wonderful seasonal prize, we need you to answer the following question. Okay, so in Disney's Frozen, which is out now, what is the name of the talking snowman who dreams of nothing more than going on holiday and being in the sun? Is it A, Olaf, B, Frosty, or C, Carrot Nose?
Ooh. I like all of those answers. That's quite
they're good. They're good, aren't they? So it's a bit of a tough one. Yeah, you kind of have to know a little bit about the film. So so I'll give it to you again. In Disney's Frozen, what is the name of the talking snowman who dreams of nothing more than going on holiday and being in the sun? Is it A, Olaf, B, Frosty, or C, Carrot Nose?
Ooh, right. So you can get in touch with us, drive at cambridge105.fm, or you can text us
on 07919 070 490.
You're not allowed to use the web player, which I don't quite understand why. I presume that's because you can get away with multiple entries and we don't really want that. I should also mention terms and conditions on the website at cambridge105.fm. Do you want to go through that competition question one more time?
One more time? Okay, so we need you to answer the following question. In Disney's Frozen, what is the name of the talking snowman who dreams of nothing more than going on holiday and being in the sun? Is it A, Olaf, B, Frosty, or C, Carrot Nose?
Right, looking forward to receiving your entry. So the prizes, you've got two tickets, you've got the stickers, you've got the woolly hat.
And a woolly hat, yes.
And a notebook. It's all pretty good.
Wonderful
it's
Christmas
kind
prizes.
Kind folks at Cineworld, thank you very much.